This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, welcome to this podcast. My name is Anne. I've been a volunteer here at Joy for 17 years. Please continue to support Joy. This is our 25th year and we need community support by way of donations and memberships. Support Joy now during Radiothon 2018. Head to our website, click donate now. joy.org.au.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
You are listening to Family Matters, your lighthearted look at rainbow families here at Joy 94.9. My name is Gina and I'm joined by the very lovely Clayton. Hi, Clayton. How
Hello.
Are you tonight?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Very, very well. We've actually got a full studio because we've got some new radio training graduates.
We've got the babies.
I'm just going to call them graduates. I don't know if you passed that test you were just doing.
Sure we have.
Yeah. But we've got Con and Bowie. And you know what? We're throwing them straight into the deep end, Clayton, because I think that's the best way to learn sometimes.
Well, we got rid of the live read, so you and I don't have to do them.
Oh, that's another good reason why to bring Con and Bowie in. So throughout tonight, you will be hearing not only from Clayton and myself, but Con and Bowie. And we have an amazing guest joining us who's got a brilliant new book coming out. Hi, Joe Hurst.
Hi.
Hi. We're going to be hearing from you very shortly, so you just sit tight. But because we are a rainbow family show, Clayton, I'm all about creating more rainbow families.
Fair enough.
I heard something on The Informer last night. Kind of startled me. I think we have a slight clip that we want to share as to what's actually happening out there, which might hinder future rainbow families.
Australia, we've got a sperm problem. We're running out of sperm. That's right. It's a sperm shortage down under. But how, I hear you say? Well, our LGBTIQ communities are partly responsible. So what are we going to do about it? I sat down with Dr. Weston from Monash IVF Group to find out. Dr. Weston was the first gay IVF specialist in Victoria to open up a private practice and is a leading gay rights doctor at Monash IVF.
Traditional people who need sperm donors are heterosexual couples where the male partner doesn't have any sperm in his ejaculate and we're unable to find any sperm for him. Although they're traditionally the main group that require sperm donors, they're actually now our smallest group. In Victoria, from 2010, both single women, lesbian couples, transgender patients, any patient who wants to have a child can access donor sperm treatment. As a result of that, our sperm stocks have gone to an all-time low because 75 to 80% of access to the donor sperm bank is now from non-heterosexual couples or from single patients. There's probably been a slight decrease in the number of men who've donated, but we've had a quadrupling in the demand on the donor sperm bank, and we very much want to be able to meet the needs of all of our patients, single, straight, lesbian, transgender, gay. If we're going to meet those needs, we need more sperm donors.
That's right. Clayton?
Get out there and donate.
Like, seriously.
I'm happy to help.
Equality has made it harder to access sperm because more of us can actually get it now. I think, like, seriously, people.
It is a serious topic, but it's hard not to laugh when we're talking about sperm.
And there's quite a few quite little cute puns by Dean. My advice to you, go and listen to the podcast that was on. It's on the Informer page. So you can actually hear about why. One of the things they were saying is some people think that because now legally children can seek out who their donor was when they become 18. The doctor was saying that some people are afraid that, you know, kids might come knocking on your door at the age of 18 to start accessing your estate and that stuff. That's not possible. And I think that also one donor can basically service up to 10 families. So I think there's that fear, but you never have to say yes. So yes, there is the right for children and for donors to access who their parents are, but neither party has to say, you know, you don't have to say yes to that request. 0427JOY949. Text us in if you're thinking of becoming a sperm donor. Forget Radiothon. Let's do a spermathon, Clayton. should we just start handing out cups at the front of Bourke Street? Or?
Well, we've only got 3 toilet cubicles up here.
We do. They're gender neutral. But
they are. Yes. Could get a little awkward.
It could. And can I just assure everyone, if you are considering being a sperm donor, we've actually been in touch with all the clinics and we've encouraged them to increase, well, they actually had none, all the gay porn that is actually there. So just know you'll have the right material to inspire you to help create a rainbow family.
Oh, yeah. Well, the gay men can get there and help and, you know, do what every straight man wants to do and service 10 women.
See, that's the poster right there, Clayton. I think if we do that, we're going to get more people interested. We are still, like I said, it's not spermathon, it is radiothon. Mm-hmm. You can still join up and be a member. You can still donate and get a wonderful tax deduction. Or like Raymond, he became a member from Blackburn. A family membership. How appropriate it is, Family Matters.
I should look at the screen more often. That is fantastic.
So thank you, Raymond from Blackburn, for joining. Raymond, if you are considering being a sperm donor, you know, message in 0427JOY949. We'll get you the details on how to do that.
And if you want to donate your sperm in America, you've also gone into the running to win a trip to LA.
No, we need it here.
Okay,
it's here that we're running
out. It's probably a global thing, though.
It could be.
Yeah.
I don't know, per quarter. Anyway, we have got an amazing guest coming up. But before we kick off and meet our guest, we've got a gorgeous little segment, don't we, Clayton?
We do. This is Celebrities on Sesame Street. Mm. And today,
tonight
we have Janelle Monáe, who is singing about the power of yet.
The power of yet?
Yet.
Not the power of sperm. The power of yet.
She's probably singing about that too. Who knows?
Possibly.
Family Matters is brought to you today by the letters LGBTIQA and the number 1.
You are listening to Family Matters, and that gorgeous live read a moment ago was by Bowie, new graduate here at Joy 94.9. How good was that, Clayton?
That was actually a secret test we didn't tell them about.
No, you literally did. You're like, here, take this sheet. You're going to read this. You're going to read this.
Now they passed.
I get my certificate now.
Yeah, yes. I'm going to go print it right out there. But we are super excited tonight, not only to have Connor and Bowie in here, kind of taking off those training wheels, throwing them back into the deep end, but Clayton, we've got a wonderful guest here with us.
We do. Jo Hurst.
Hello.
Now, I doubt a first time on Joy Airwaves.
No, I feel like a regular now.
Okay, good.
A home away from home.
Well, it's good to be regular.
It is actually a regular sperm donor. I'll keep harping on about that because that's really important. But
yeah, Jo, I can't help you with that.
I know, darling, you can't help me with being a sperm donor. But you and I were in the studio just 2 weeks ago. We fangirled like crazy. We had the fabulous Jeffrey Marsh on for an interview. How fun was that?
They were amazing. I'm such a massive Jeffrey Marsh fan.
I know. They were so sweet.
Me
Jeffrey
too.
Was just
such an honour.
Yeah. So thank you again. And you can hear that podcast with Jeffrey Marsh. It is on our iTunes page, so you can download. We're not here again to fangirl like we did. We were quite embarrassing. I had to edit a lot of that out.
You're going to fanboy this time?
Thanks for editing my gushing.
What is the gender-neutral fan?
Well, we're the girls doing the fanning.
Yeah, we're the fan girls. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how we embarrassed ourselves.
Yeah, no, I don't know if there's a gender neutral one, but we should work on it.
Fan personing.
Bowie,
yes. It doesn't have quite the same ring, though.
Fan person.
Yeah.
A fan person, I think, works.
Fan buddy.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Just gushing.
What about fan?
Fan, not stalker. Fan. Fan is what we're going for. Now, Jo, we're not here to embarrass ourselves. We did that a few weeks ago. Jo, we're super excited because tonight you've actually brought in a hard copy of this.
Yeah, I actually got it in the mail today. Finally, everyone around the world, kids around the world, posting photos of my book, which is so lovely, but I didn't have one. Thank you, Australia Post. So, yes, I got one in the mail today. Yay!
So A House for Everyone is your second book that's out there. It's a hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a soft cover to the Gender Fairy. Is there a hardcover to the Gender Fairy?
No, I didn't publish it in hardcover.
Well, because I was going to say, did I get ripped off for the first version?
No.
And I was going to hassle the guys at Hares and Hyenas, but no.
No, I didn't do a hardcover.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into A House for Everyone and learn all about it, I'm going to take us back a few steps, back to the Gender Fairy. Because last time we had you on, we were kind of talking about, you know, the amazing ally that you are and the amazing work you do for trans kids in our community. But we didn't actually get to touch on the actual Gender Fairy itself, a storybook that I've got at home, a storybook that I really like reading to my child. And I'm going to steal the book back from Con, because as you all know, I've recently had a child, and one of the reasons I love Clayton so dearly is because Clayton was one of the few people that brought an appropriate gift in my eyes to my child. It was a transformer and a little matchbox car, whereas everyone else did exactly what you've written here on page 9 of the Gender Fairy. Pink balloons, a pink dress and a pink teddy bear for the baby who was labelled girl in the cot.
That's what people do.
Joe, they really do.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of pink, but my house is now covered in pink.
It's amazing. You have a baby girl and bang, it doesn't matter that that's a baby and doesn't even see colour when it's born.
It doesn't see
everything colour. That's bought for that baby in hospital is pink.
It's pink. And you go to the gift shop, because sometimes I had to run to the gift shop to get, because our child was a little bit smaller and we none of the stuff that I had fit the baby. I had to go buy smaller suits. But it was either a choice of pink or blue. Like it is,
and yeah. It's really only for the last 100 years that Western civilization has chosen pink as a colour for girls. There was a time before that when red and pink were seen as a stronger colour for boys, and blue was seen more as a female colour associated with the Virgin Mary. So it really is just a fashion thing.
Well, red was blood, and you know, men go out and get blood places, like slash things open.
But I want to go back to what inspired this book, because there aren't many books out like the Gender Fairy.
There aren't any quite like the Gender Fairy. No. There are quite a few books now. Well, not quite a few. There are a handful of books for transgender children now. At the time, there wasn't one in Australia. And there certainly weren't any that I could find that had a transgender boy in them. And the ones that I had seen were very sort of pathologising. They were a little bit about the medical journey. They talked about brains and bodies being different to how you feel inside. And I guess what we try and teach our children is that your body is yours. So if you're a boy, your body is a boy's body. So I wanted to write something that was positive for children, that would give them a positive message, but also help give that message to their peers a little bit more understanding and help them feel a little bit more included and seen.
We were having a chat about this the other day, and we know there are other books out there that do talk about the medical procedures and do talk about that stuff. And in a classroom setting, a child might not want their peers to know that stuff. And that's where the Gender Fairy doesn't do that. It is a book that can be kind of used in a classroom amongst other peers. I can understand there might be a need where a child's about to understand what's about to happen to them.
Yeah. There's a lot of young people who like the book I Am Jazz, for example, but it does talk a little bit about seeing doctors and things like that. So I wanted to write something a little bit different. Mm. And, yeah, of course, that's not something that transgender children want to see read in the classroom. Usually they want something that shows that they are normal, that being transgender is just part of a normal part of human diversity.
Who are you writing this book for?
I wrote it for my son. And I actually had a conversation with Dr. Michelle Telfer from the Royal Children's Hospital. Wrote the foreword. And I said, look, I've written this book and I'd like to just give it to the kids that I wasn't going to publish it, just sort of, I don't know, do an e-version or something for the kids at the Royal Children's Hospital. And she said, well, why don't you publish it? So I did.
It's so easy to publish.
Yeah, well, it was just so easy. And I think I didn't just, you know, I'm not just a mum who decided, oh, I've got a trans kid, I'll write a book. I consulted Michelle. I consulted lots of people within the transgender community. I consulted Y Gender. There were lots and lots of people I consulted, because I certainly wouldn't think that me being a cisgender parent means that I know what it means to be transgender. So I did all of that, a due process, came up with the final version of the Gender Fairy. Ros Ward co-wrote the notes at the
amazing
back, so I thought, amazing Ros Ward. So I thought, I've got to go to the expert who knows about notes for schools. So I went to the best, I felt. I got Michelle's input, the input of the transgender community, and then Ros's for the notes at the back. So I felt like I'd come up with something really good. I didn't actually try and get a publisher for the Gender Fairy, because I just assumed back then, it was the beginning of 2015, that no publisher was going to look at a book that was about gender for transgender children. And also I felt that if I did, they might try and change the wording a bit. And every word was chosen so carefully and agonised over, and I really wanted to have control of that. So that's why I self-published.
Did you crowdfund or just...
No, I didn't. I actually hadn't heard of crowdfunding back then. I call me a bit daggy, but I don't even know if it was around back then. Maybe it was. It was. Yeah, there you go. I hadn't actually heard of it. So silly me. My grandmother had died and left me a little bit of money, not a lot. And I thought, well, it's almost enough to go on a family trip or I could publish this book. And I thought, well, I think this is an investment in my child's future. So I'll publish the book. And it's, you know, it's never going to be a money maker. It's a niche market. Yeah. And it was never designed to make a profit, but that's not the intention. The intention was there to be an educational tool and there for kids.
Does this version look different to your first draft?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, yeah, it did go through, yeah, it went through a lot of changes. As I consulted different people, the book did change over time, but I think that's a really good thing, a really good thing.
Well, that's how books tend to work.
Yeah, so. It had a process which evolved, but... The basic story didn't change, which was what's really lovely. And the fairy was always there and the last line was always there and the beginning was always there. So it was just some bits in the middle that changed. You know, for example, when one of the children says, you know, is there anyone else out there like me? I had, you know, yes, there are some other children like you. And Dr. Michelle Telfer said, well, you know what, Joe, there's at least 1-2% of trans kids out there. That's a lot. Why don't you put a lot? I said, okay, there's a lot of kids out there like you. Yeah. Things like that.
Yeah. Now, our biggest critics as writers, because I'm a writer myself, are usually our family members. Did your child get to read a copy of this before it went public?
Oh, absolutely. He was involved in the whole writing process.
Yeah.
Definitely. And he loved it at the time. You know, like many other transgender children, it helped him feel validated awesome. And seen. About a year after, he said, you know what, I don't need the gender fair anymore. It's really good that it's there for other kids, but I don't need it anymore.
So speaking of audience, I love that they're so critical. Speaking of audience, so what's the age group we would kind of look at for the gender fairy?
Oh, really from about 4 up for the gender fairy, I'd say. Mm. You know, kinder, prep, grade 1, grade 2, but I mean, I've read it to grade 5s and 6s because it does have that basic message in there that can help explain it in a really simple way.
Grade 5s and 6s definitely love picture storybooks as much as any of the year level.
You're a primary teacher. Yeah. It's so true.
It's not relevant. They just go, yep, I like a picture storybook.
Exactly. Oh. And they love hearing about the publishing process as well. So I give that little story as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And we sort of talk to kids about the process of being an author and they're doing writer's notebooks and all sorts of things now. So hearing the process of making a book is fantastic for them.
They love it. Yeah. And it does. And grade 5s and 6s need to understand this in the most basic way as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really worthwhile for them.
And also you're looking at, they don't necessarily have any knowledge. So the picture storybook is probably at the right level for them to gain that knowledge. So
it's perfect for people with absolutely no knowledge. What excites me is that many primary school children do have a lot of knowledge now. It's incredible. It's really exciting.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
They're not that bad tonight.
I think the best presenters there aren't.
There's no Dave, no Beck, we're safe.
We're pretty good. They'd give a shit.
Feel rather quiet without them.
We did have a message in referring to our first live read, by the way. Well done on the second live read. Very nice voice.
Well done.
I'm in the concert with Melbourne Rainbow Band. It's going to be amazing. David.
Is that our David?
Does he play an instrument?
I didn't think he did.
Other than donating sperm?
He should be donating sperm. Yeah. I'll pull him up on that. Mm-hmm. No, I won't. Oh, I've got to be careful with my choice of words when I'm encouraging people to donate sperm. But yes.
You'll give him a helping hand?
I will give him a helping hand, but I'll encourage him in other ways. We would love to hear from our audience now if you've got any questions from Joe or you are a sperm donor yourself and like to encourage others. Message in on 0427JOY949. Email us on air@joy.org.au. Why not even call the front desk and have a chat to Moshin about it on 1300 569 949. Become a sperm donor. Help other rainbow families come into the world.
And Moshin's partner's overseas, so he's a bit lonely at the moment. So he probably needs someone to talk to.
Yeah, please call in. Now, as we said, we've got the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Joe Hurst here in studio. We have been talking about the first book, The Gender Fairy, but there is another book that is coming out. When is it, Joe? Next week?
Well,
you've got one.
It's officially being launched next week, but I think you can certainly get it from in Australia.
Yeah.
It's already out overseas, and I think you can get it from bookshops in Australia now. I know Hare and Hyenas already have it.
They did. They were very cheeky because they put on social media, look what we've got, Joe.
Yeah.
And you walked in going, I got mine today. And I'm like, how did Hare and Hyenas get it before
because
you?
Australia Post.
Yeah, there we go. Are they a sponsor? I don't know. Anyway, we might get in trouble.
Have you autographed your own copy yet?
Yeah.
No.
So the new book, A House for Everyone. I've had a quick glance at it myself. Clayton, you've had a quick read as well. But when did you think up this story, the second book?
Not too long after The Gender Fairy. So this book, A House for Everyone, has been in the making for quite a while. Mm. I wrote it probably, let's see, 2006, some stage in 2016. I can't remember the first version.
Yeah.
The first version was very, well, it probably doesn't seem very
first
Australian,
drafts are
but
always
it was.
Terrible, that's okay.
No. Well, it wasn't too dissimilar. It was very Australian, and I've ended up with a UK-US publisher, which is fantastic. I'm just grateful to have a publisher. There was a possibility of an Australian publisher as well, and I chose to go with this one because having a book published in in the UK and the USA is really a fantastic opportunity.
Not only is it a fantastic opportunity, didn't I see on social media somewhere that you've been added on a pretty important list during Pride Month? Is that in the UK? Tell us, come on.
Yeah, so I couldn't believe it. So I haven't even launched the book here, and Waterstones, who are the biggest retailer in the UK, have put it as recommended reading for Pride Month. So, wow.
Amazing.
Can't believe that. So it's very exciting. Yeah. But this book originally, so when this publisher saw it, they said, it's very Australian. So originally it was going to be, not many people know this, but it was going to be a game where children broke rocks and made sand. And America wasn't happy with that.
Like, really? They've got sand and rocks in the
no,
US?
No, Joe. Geologically, we don't do that. We don't have that kind of geology. So, no, that couldn't happen. Had to change that whole story.
Stop
so
it.
We had to make well, I call it a tree house. It's called a house because a cubby can't be used because use that really in Victoria. So, and playhouse is what they would use in some places, but that didn't sound right to me as an Australian playhouse. Tree house wasn't really acceptable. So it's a house. It's a house for everyone that the children make. So there are so many things in the book, that little words like that, that have had to be changed.
That happens a lot in the film industry.
Yeah.
And I know Australian films that have done well here when they've gone to test audiences in the States. And I actually had this happen with my short film in the States where they said, I would have preferred it if there were subtitles. It's spoken in English. Like there was not too much slang in it. But
there's no massively ocker accents or anything in either. It's like,
because it's a real ethnic kind of diverse cast that I've got. So I was really shocked that they still need.
Which, by the way, you can find on YouTube if you'd like to watch it.
You can actually find on YouTube. So
what's it is very good too.
The Escape Hatch.
Thanks.
But anyway, and if you don't want to see lesbians getting harmed, feel free to watch that short film, 10 minutes. But anyway, enough self-promotion. Joe.
So, yeah, getting the language right for three different countries was really tricky and time-consuming. That was the hardest part.
Are there different versions for each country?
No. So we wanted one version that would be good in Australia, the UK and the US. So I think we've nailed it.
So there's no Philosopher's Stone and Sorcerer's Stone?
No, I really didn't want that kind of situation happening.
No, really? Is that...
In America, Harry Potter is the Sorcerer's Stone. Mm. Everywhere else in the world, it's the Philosopher's Stone.
No way!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had to re-record the movie to have both phrases to be released into different audiences as well. So
we've got a big book show next week.
Uh-huh.
This is the stuff that's going to blow my mind. Okay, we're getting that book list together. You've already released this in the UK and the US. Have you received any feedback yet from its audiences?
I have. That was the really exciting part. Jeffrey Marsh loved it. I'll just throw that in, which is really exciting.
So I was on that email too, so...
Jeffrey tweeted about it, which was really exciting. Cool. But the wonderful thing has been seeing parents post it on their Instagram page that their children have loved it and tagged me in all these posts and on Facebook and on Twitter and saying it's their kids' new favourite book. I got really excited when the new star of a film called A Kid Called Jake,
very important.
Leo James Davis, is a gender-fluid child actor in this new movie.
And with a trans director.
With a trans director,
thank
Silas.
God. Yes.
I really can't wait to see this film. It's about parents who try and put a gender-fluid child in kindergarten and the challenges that they face. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing this movie. And the parents run Leo's Instagram page and he posted it as his new favourite book.
Aww.
So far. And it's only been a few weeks, so it's very exciting.
I really look forward to the day that somebody tries to enrol a gender-fluid or an intersex child who's just been intersex and not necessarily been with the other gender, just so I can challenge everybody's expectations and behaviours. It's just, I want that opportunity.
Well, there, do you mean a child who uses the pronoun they?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah,
these kids are in primary school. So this is the reason that I really wanted to have a non-binary character in the book, because these kids are there. They exist. I mean, if you look at the research that Trans Pathways did this year, last year, I think something like 48.6% of transgender people identify as non-binary. So you really, if you're talking about transgender children, you're talking about quite a lot of kids. And we're seeing these kids in primary schools. And if you haven't got a non-binary child in your primary school, you are still quite likely to encounter a non-binary person in your life. So you need to get used to using the pronoun they. It's a simple fact of life.
Because that wasn't in the gender fairy. I mean, the gender fairy has a gorgeous quote at the end of the book, which is what I love. And I have actually used it when everyone's like, what? Because my child has got, you know, a non-gender specific name, and when I dress the child, you wouldn't know. It's comfortable. That's how I dress my child. But quite often I get asked, is my child a boy or girl? And I love quoting the last line from the gender fairy, does it matter?
Yeah, that's it. Well, the gender fairy themselves are actually non-binary.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I always said that straight after the gender fairy, which is for non-binary binary transgender children, that there was always going to be a book about for non-binary children, but it developed into a book that had all sorts of children with different gender identities and gender expressions, a house for everyone.
So with a house for everyone, you consulted quite a lot with the gender fairy, but I assume with the consulting you were learning a lot yourself as to appropriate language and that sort of stuff.
So much.
With the house for everyone, did you need to consult as much? I mean, people now come to you.
Yeah, not as much. People are coming to me for advice now. So not as much, no. I think I did consult a couple of people. I just wanted to make doubly sure I was getting the language right about when speaking about some little things, but I'd already had it correct anyway, so that was really just to reassure myself, I guess.
Yeah,
I was already doing it correctly, but I did want to just make sure of that. Being a cisgender person, you have to be extra careful, I think, and extra sensitive.
Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Family Matters here on Joy 94.9. It is myself, the lovely Clayton, behind the panel pressing all of our buttons. We've got the wonderful guest, Joe Hurst, who is a favourite here at Family Matters. We're a huge fan of Joe's work. And we have some recent radio graduates. We've got Con and Bowie.
Baby presenters.
We're just going to throw them straight out.
These are literal newborns. Like,
literally.
Came from one studio to another.
And, you know, if you like newborns, be a sperm donor, because we need sperm donors out there.
Lesbians and sperm, seriously.
I know, would you think? Like, really, I had issues using the word ejaculate last season, but this year...
You're just ejaculating everywhere.
Everywhere. What time is it? We're fine. Bowie, I know you had a really important question for Joe. Go wild.
Yeah, I did. Joe, I know that after the release of your last book, you got quite a bit of aggressive backlash, even though, like, I understand your intention wasn't to be an advocate at that point. How's this book and the release gone with that sort of feedback?
So far, so good, but it's very early days. I think with the gender fairy, the thing that made it easy for them to target that was the fact that Roz had co-written the notes at the back of the book, and someone put a post about the book up on the Safe Schools website. So when they were attacking Safe Schools, they drew in my book and kept me out of the picture and made it all about Roz and Safe Schools. And the thing is that no one in the government, or who works for the government, who works for education, is allowed in this political climate to write books about gender for children, even though they're desperately needed and schools and governments want to support these kids. Because of this political backlash, no one will write these books, which is why I'm writing them. So I think that's what made the gender fairy such a target. But with this new book, there's nothing like that involved. It's just a book from me. It has some incredible reviews from some incredible people and some incredible organisations. And I really don't think that there's room for backlash there, but you never know.
Is all publicity good publicity?
No, no. People say that, oh, all publicity, but it's not. It's really not. That bad publicity hurt children. It hurt children badly. So, no, it is definitely not all good publicity.
And we were also concerned for you, Jojo, because that would have been just gut-wrenching to be thrown and to be used by the No campaign. How did you get through it?
Oh, look,
Most of us are still...
Quite honestly, I'd say I have some post-traumatic stress from that.
Yeah, I think all of us do from
that whole thing. Yeah, I don't think I've fully recovered from that. And I think that will take a really long time. And that's probably the same for a lot of people in the community. But I felt very targeted and I felt that my family was very targeted. Yeah. And I felt very, very bad for all of the trans kids and their families in Australia as well.
Yes, so did you feel apprehension leading up to the release of this book?
Yes, I did. So I purposely didn't talk about the contract I had for the book and the fact that it was being published during the plebiscite. Mm. So I made a specific point of not mentioning this book during the plebiscite because I thought, God, can you imagine if I announced this book during the plebiscite? It would be awful.
Had a field day with it.
They would have had a field day with it. So, of course, I've been very nervous.
So was this delayed public? To publish it? Were you ready to publish this earlier?
No, there was no delay. It just takes a really, really long time to publish books.
Yes.
Yeah. So, no, there was no delay. I mean, this book's been in the work for a couple of years, but I would have probably announced that it was in the process during the plebiscite and I didn't.
Yeah. Well, Jojo, you know we love you and anything we can do to support you and dare anyone.
Well, I think it's really important to support the kids out there. And I think the thing is any backlash that comes my way and the book's way reflects on the children and it goes back to the children. So when that ad was on television, there were lots of children who saw that ad. And that book is about them. They see that as themselves. And some very young children got excited thinking that that was a good thing that the ad was there and their parents had to tell them that, no, that was not a good thing. And that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Well, let's get you some pamphlets for good reasons this time.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll deliver those quite happily. Quite happily. Now, Con, you also had a question for the lovely Jojo. Jump on the mic.
Yeah, Joe, I was going to sort of say, now you've got House for Everyone out, what do you sort of see taking it next?
Well, I'm trying not to give myself too much work at once, but I'm not really allowed to announce it yet. I don't have permission from the publisher and the other editors, but I'm co-editing a very exciting book, another international book, which is really exciting. Nevo Zizen is my co-editor in Australia, and we have some co-editors in the UK and the USA, and it's a really exciting book, and I wish I could talk about it, but I can't, so I won't just yet because it's not my place to announce it, so I won't. And there's a couple of other books I'm working on, so but I'm really trying to pace myself and take it slow, and I realize that publishing just takes so long. It's different when you self-publish, you just get it done. I mean,
really?
Get things done.
I would have thought self-publishing is harder because you've got to go out there and kind of sell it.
It's harder to do, but publishing companies take a really, really long time to do stuff.
And can we bust the myth that if people think there's money involved in publishing books?
No, there's no money, especially now with Amazon and things like that. Yeah. You get a very, very... You don't get upfront money usually for a book at all, and then you get a very small percentage of books that are sold, and most of those are sold on Amazon, so it's like 10 cents a book or something. Yeah. So, you know, there's no money in it, but that's not why I write books personally. It's for a very good reason. The other thing is that it's very, very hard to get any children's book published. Really, to get a picture book published these days, you need to be a comedian or someone on television, someone really famous. So I'm just really privileged to be able to publish books at all, let alone books about gender for children. I think my publisher's just wonderful. They do amazing things in the area of gender diversity and they publish a lot of trans authors. They're fantastic.
So how can we get behind and support this book? When is it launching here in Australia? It's already in the US and UK.
Having a launch next week, I'm very, very privileged to have the wonderful Jacob Thomas host the occasion. Nevo Zizen and Evie McDonald
are
my guest speakers. Yay! So I won't be saying a lot. I'm going to leave it to them. And then I'll be reading the book to a group of children. So I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be just lovely.
And where can we get the book after that?
Well, you can get it anywhere online that sells online books. You can get it from any bookshop in Australia. I think Hare and Hyenas have it right now.
Yeah, they tweeted about it. I think it's on their Instagram.
They did tweet, they Instagrammed everything, yes. I'm not sure which other bookshops have it because I don't have control over that stuff anymore, but any bookshop can order it. I think Readings have it, at least they will next week.
I'm going to say probably the younger son in Yarraville would definitely have it.
Awesome.
They have pretty much everything that's exotic, so.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I came across a gender fairy in a bookshop in Carlton when I went shopping.
Readings and Carlton have it.
It wasn't Readings.
Oh, there you go.
It was kind of like a boutique kids bookshop. So I was super excited. I know. Look at that.
Well, I didn't know that.
It was last
year. There you go. I really just sell the gender fairy from my website and give to very few bookshops. It's just the easiest way for me to do it. But soon I'll just be, probably next year, I'll just sell it purely from Amazon because it's just easier.
The life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9, Family Matters. Hear your lighthearted look at rainbow families celebrating all of our gorgeous families. We've been so fortunate to have the wonderful Joe Hurst in studio. We are super excited to be celebrating the next book in the Joe Hurst legacy, A House for Everyone. We've had a chance to look at the hard copy here tonight. We're super excited. Again, I love that it is beautifully culturally diverse. Again, we don't see enough cultural diversity in our storybooks. As
all children need to be seen on the page. All children, gender diverse children, children of... I mean, the thing is about this book too, I think it reflects the children that my son plays with at school.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that doesn't look any different to looking at the school playground either. So why would you have a book with all Caucasian children when that's just not reality?
Exactly.
And what we really need to see is girls in books.
Yes.
And all the other stuff too. But, you know, just simple, like, books do not represent women at all, or girls.
No. Now, we are super excited because next week we've actually got a big book show on as well. So Clayton and I are putting together an amazing reading list for you all and for ourselves during the week.
We may delve into a few movies as well, but they're connected to books.
Yes. I think that's the way, and I'm going to learn all about the Philosopher's Stone, which was the... What was it, Stone?
Harry Potter's and the Philosopher's Stone, or Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone?
I had no idea. Now, what are you reading, Joe? Are you reading anything for yourself?
Do you have time to read?
No. I'm not, and I really want
to. I was reading a UN report earlier when you were coming into
the
studio.
I've just been sent a United Nations General Assembly report of the independent expert on protection against violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender.
Bit of light reading.
Yeah.
Bit of light reading. That's my kind of reading.
Cup of tea, bicky.
But look, this is so exciting. Seriously, it is a really, really exciting report. And I'm going to be tweeting and posting about this report all day tomorrow.
Cool. So I'm going to catch up on that so I don't have to read that. I'm just going to read your post, Joe, and you'll keep me informed. Joe, it's always amazing having you in studio. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to seeing the feedback from kids, especially here in Australia, seeing this book. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to reading this to my child. I already read The Gender Fairy as well to my child.
I just loved seeing my own child's reaction today when he read it. It was just beautiful.
That would be absolutely so cool. Thank you, everyone, for coming in. Con, Bowie, what's next on the cards for you two here at Joy?
Oh, total domination, of course.
I think so. Con, what about you?
I would love it at anything, actually. I sort of enjoy the 8 weeks we've had training, and to sort of write, produce, or even present would be great.
And, you know, and having me nag you to be a sperm donor.
Hey.
Look, diversity, like we said, diversity matters in our books, in our stories. Diversity also matters when it comes to sperm.
It does.
And if you listen to the podcast from The Informer last night, they actually talk about the importance of having some more diverse sperm. So, because we are diverse individuals.
And the fun part is you can't tell us diversity till later.
I love you, Clayton.
Yep.
Well, up next, we've got the wonderful team at Well, Well, Well. After them, our favourite bears in the woods. And I might actually get them to join us for a storybook next week that I love reading to my child. You've got The Woods. Good night, everyone. Woof, woof, girl. Thanks, Joe.
Arg.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks
for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.